Okay, we're going to be continuing our series on our statement of faith, and we're going to be on point number 18 about water baptism. I have handouts out there that have most of the passages I'll be touching on. So if a few people wanted to go out there, if you guys just grab a few of those and hand them out to people who want them so you can follow along. And we'll be talking about water baptism. Pat, I'm going to be all over the place with the verses. A lot of them aren't even listed on the handout, so just do the best you can, brother. But let's go to the Lord. As those are being handed out, let's go to the Lord for prayer once again that God would anoint me to proclaim his truth. Okay? So if you bow your heads, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, in Jesus' precious name, I'm just like everybody else here, Lord. I'm fallible. I make mistakes. I don't always proclaim your truth. And sometimes I proclaim fake news. But I pray, Lord, that on this morning, on this day, you would anoint me with your spirit so that I could proclaim and properly interpret your perfect, infallible, inerrant word. The word of God. And so I pray, Lord, you would prevent me, anoint me with your spirit, prevent me from leading anyone astray. Open hearts and minds to understand the truths that are taught today. Give everybody here the boldness to reject anything that comes from this pulpit that contradicts your truth. But I pray, Lord, that we would understand your truth and you'd empower us to apply it so that we could be all that you called us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're on point number 18 of our Trinity Bible Fellowship statement of faith. This is what we believe. And point number 18 says that those who profess faith in Jesus, so those who are trusting in Jesus for salvation, are to be baptized in water. Now, water baptism does not save. We'll look at the verses here. Water baptism does not save, but it symbolizes our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So those who profess faith in Jesus are to be baptized in water. Water baptism does not save. It symbolizes our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you look over there, right in that corner, that's where we have our baptismal, okay? And we were able to baptize 11 people. 11 people who profess faith in Jesus got baptized last Sunday night. And that's very rarely that a church, I mean, if we got everybody in here that belongs to TBF on one Sunday, baptizing 11 is about one-tenth of that, the size of that of our church. And so God is at work. Now, I'm not saying that Trinity Bible Fellowship, we've passed the test. God is totally pleased with us, but apparently we're doing something right by the grace of God. And as things get hot in the kitchen in America, God is telling Trinity Bible Fellowship he wants to use us to do powerful things for his kingdom. And I'm just a regular guy. We're just regular people. But we serve an all-powerful God, the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we may not feel like it, but we're the most powerful people on the planet Earth. God has given us the keys to the kingdom. We could lead people to Christ. We can have them unbound of their sins by leading them to Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit regenerates them. So what is water baptism? Well, let me start with a few verses here that don't touch on water baptism, but they touch on us making a choice to serve the Lord. And we're going to see that after we get saved, the first command that comes to us from the Lord, you get saved, you trust in Jesus for salvation, you get baptized. Okay? But look at Joshua 24, verses 14 to 15, Joshua 24, verses 14 to 15. And The Jews had just conquered the Promised Land, but there's still pagans living in the Promised Land. And there's still false gods being worshipped in the Promised Land. And so Joshua, in his closing message to the people, says this. Now therefore, Joshua 24, 14 and 15, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, the false gods, which your father served on the other side of the river, the Euphrates River, and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, to serve Yahweh, well, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is calling us through every generation, not just since the birth of Christ, but even going back in the days of Israel, even going back to the days of the Tower of Babel, back to the days of the flood, back all the way to the fall. God calls us to make a choice. So what do we do? And now it's getting hot in the kitchen in America. Isaiah says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Now we got a government that at least doesn't like Christians, maybe even hates Christians. But God's calling us to make a choice. You got to decide which side you're on. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. And Elijah here is battling with the false prophets, hundreds of false prophets of the false god Baal. And in 1 Kings 18, 21, Elijah says this, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter? How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. God's tugging at our hearts right now. We can follow the triune God of the Bible, the one true God, who is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or we can follow the false gods of our age. You might think, wow, those were pagan times. We're sophisticated now. We don't have false gods. You realize we got world's leading scientists that think that aliens from other planets seeded planet Earth with life. We're bringing back. This is the return of the ancient gods. You realize that right now the government wants to be worshipped? You think our government thinks that Jesus is the head of the church? No. Our government says the church, what's the word they used? Non-essential. Walmart's essential. We Americans can't live without Walmart, but I guess we can live without the church. Last I heard, Jesus of Nazareth is still the head of the church. Okay? So we got to choose. It's the deification of the state. The state is now becoming a false god. Someday the state's going to be a global state. We got leaders that don't want America to remain sovereign. We got leaders that want to merge us with global government. Bible says in the last days, a demon-possessed man, the Antichrist will rule the world. You got to choose. The ancient Christians, they had to choose. They could either say Caesar is Lord and burn incense to the pagan gods, or they could say Jesus is Lord and then possibly be executed for that. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we got to decide which side we're on. Don't wait for somebody to put a gun up to your head. You make that decision now. Right now, you make that decision to serve and live for King Jesus. And if you live for him when days are still decently good, maybe you'll be willing to die for him when things get bad. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's getting hot in the kitchen. This is not the time to hesitate between two positions. Okay? He's going to quote a couple passages. We don't have time to look them up, but Isaiah 45:22. God says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. If you're not a believer, you came in here and you're not trusting in Jesus for salvation, you make that choice, you make that choice now. You turn to the one who saves. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You make that choice and make it now to come to the Lord Jesus. If you already made that choice years ago, I don't know when John was singing the songs and stuff. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Are you as happy as you were on the day you got saved? Because I'm not. I want my first love back. I want that joy restored to me. So if you're a ready believer, just recommit your life to the Lord. This is not the time to be on the fence. This is not the time to hesitate between two opinions. You got to decide which side you're on. Okay? Now, why am I talking about all this when we're talking about water baptism? Okay? Because when you take that step in water baptism, when you trust in Jesus for salvation, that's when you get saved, that's when you get born again, and the very next thing the Lord Jesus says to do is to get water baptized. In ancient times, the book of Acts, you got saved, they baptized you right then and there. Okay? Here in America, sometimes we put people through courses. No, clearly explain the gospel message, and if people trust in Jesus, as soon as possible, get them baptized. Now, I'm not a Southern California Calvary Chapel guy, so I don't baptize in cold water. So I got to get the thumbs up from Pat that everything's working and we got warm water back there, okay? We probably got a few guys in this church that'll take you out to cold water in a lake or a stream and get you baptized or whatever. But when you come to Christ for salvation, then you got to say, okay, now I've got to proclaim it to my community. And I got to proclaim it to fellow Christians. And I got to proclaim it to the world. We can say, I love you, to the world, to non-believers, to evil leaders, whatever. I love you, but I'm not one of you anymore. I belong to the Lamb who was slain. I belong to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back someday. He's going to bring justice to planet Earth. And when he comes back, he's coming for me. Okay? But you got to decide which side you're on. And when you decide you trust in Jesus for salvation, that's great. But then you got to confess Jesus before others. You got to take that next step of water baptism. What a time of rejoicing when 11 people got baptized. And I didn't do all the baptisms. I only baptized a few because some of the people were being baptized, were being discipled by somebody else. And that's when the kingdom of God is at its best, when it's not just the pastoral staff that are doing the work of the kingdom, but they're equipping the saints for service so other mature Christians begin to disciple others. You lead somebody to Christ and you're discipling them and you want them to get baptized, I'll baptize them if you want me to baptize them, but if you want to baptize them, you can baptize them. I don't keep track anymore. I used to keep track of how many people our church led to the Lord and stuff, but you never know. You pray the sinner's prayer with somebody, and 10 years later, the guy's not even walking with the Lord. But when they take that next step of water baptism, the level of commitment goes up, okay? And so if you love Jesus, we said it last week, you love Jesus, obey his commands. What's his first command for believers? Get water baptized in the name of the triune God. So look at Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, in fact, we'll start at 18 and take it through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is after Jesus rose from the dead, one of his appearances to the apostles. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, he's already God. He's already got all authority. But he added a human nature. And he fulfilled the Father's plan. He died on the cross for our sins, took our punishment for us, and then he bodily rose from the dead to conquer death for us. Okay? And because of that, God exalted him to the Father's, God the Father exalted God the Son to the Father's right hand. And so now all authority has been given to him. Remember, God gave man dominion over the earth. Satan stole it from us in the garden. And now through Jesus' death and resurrection, he's won the right back to claim the planet Earth for himself. But he hasn't come for it yet. He's waiting for the last of the Gentiles of our day to be saved. And then the hardening of the hearts will be removed from the Jews. And then all Israel will be saved. And at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to the planet Earth. But our King has all authority. And then he says, with this authority, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We can't say, well, I can't do this, Lord. We can't go to all nations. We can't do this. This is too difficult. Hey, Jesus said, I'm with you to the end of the age. Okay? Apart from Jesus, you know what I could do to please the Father? John 15:5? Nothing. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. But when Jesus is with you and in you and working through you through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can bring down the strongholds of the enemy. You can push forward the kingdom of God in all its might. And so water baptism. Jesus says, look, make disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. First you make somebody a follower of Jesus, and then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the mission of the church, we're to go. Sometimes we can't go with our feet, but we can go with our money and our prayers. We help support missionaries to South Africa. Now the work that they're doing now is going all throughout the entire world, over 120 countries, okay? We can support missionaries in different places around the world, even some mission. We actually need missionaries in America. So we help support a village missions pastor and his family because they're in downtrodden areas. They have a church building, but very few people go. They can't afford a pastor. And village missions raises funds and helps them. So we go in one way or another. What do? We make disciples. We lead people to Jesus, but our goal goes beyond that. We want to make not only baby believers, but mature believers. And we baptize them in the name of the triune God, and then we teach them all that Jesus has commanded us. So water baptism does not save. You baptize not non-believers, and then it saves them. No, you baptize disciples. They're already saved. So we don't baptize infants here, okay? Down the block, the Roman Catholic Church, they baptize infants. They think baptizing the infant saves them. No, it doesn't. You baptize disciples. And this is done in obedience to Christ's command. Again, I like the Southern Baptist and the Conservative Baptist and the Baptist General Conference. They shout louder than anybody, water baptism does not save. But then they see, because it's a command of Jesus, it's so important, what do they call themselves? The Baptist. Okay? And that's the kind of balance we need. Water baptism doesn't save, but it's very important. Works don't save. Salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. It's not of works. Works don't save. But works of obedience to the Lord, to the power of the Holy Spirit, and for God's glory, very important. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. But you just look at a few passages here. Look at Acts chapter 8. This is where Philip witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch who traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to get a look at the temple. And because he was a eunuch, he couldn't even go inside. Yet, he was so impressed with the God of Israel, He probably paid somebody to make a copy of the scroll of Isaiah for him. And he reads Isaiah 53, which is all about the sufferings of Jesus, written 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. Precise, predictive prophecy of the Lord Jesus. And so verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? So he's saying, is the prophet saying he's going to suffer for the sins of mankind? Or is he talking about somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, Isaiah 53, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water. So now the eunuch believes. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? The eunuch is saying, I'm a believer. I want to get baptized. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So you baptize believers. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Philip baptized him. You baptize believers. Now, by the way, the poor eunuch, I don't even know if he could go in the court of the Gentiles. You weren't allowed in the temple if you were a eunuch. The Old Testament forbid that. Yet he was reading Isaiah 53. If he read a couple chapters later, either Isaiah 55 or 56, it tells the eunuch to rejoice because now he can come into the presence of God. And so that eunuch was accepted into God's kingdom, not because he got baptized, but because he believed in the Lord Jesus. And then once saved, he said, hey, look, there's water, Philip. I'm a believer now. There's water. Baptize me. I belong to King Jesus. Were you that way when you got saved? When you trusted in Jesus? And then you said, okay, now I got to get baptized. It actually took me a couple years of studying the Bible to try to figure out, does my baptism as an infant in the Catholic Church, does that count, or should I be rebaptized? And after studying the scriptures for 2 years, I came to the conclusion, I need to be rebaptized. Okay? But here's a Ethiopian eunuch says, look, I believe. We got water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Acts chapter 10, when Jesus leads the Gentile, the Roman centurion Cornelius, to the Lord. Peter's preaching the gospel to them. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So what's happening? The Holy Spirit fell upon them. They probably were speaking in tongues. And Peter's like, wow, these guys received the Spirit. They must already be saved. You know, so as he's preaching the gospel, they accepted it. The Holy Spirit showed, I'm going to give you a sign here, Peter. These Gentiles are now saved. They don't have to become Jews to get saved and get circumcised. They're saved just because they believe in Jesus. And then verse 47 says, can anyone forbid water? So Peter, this is Peter talking. Can anyone forbid water? That these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And so Peter said, look, if the Gentiles believe, we got to baptize them because they're in our family. They may not be Jewish. They may not be circumcised. They may not be under the law of Moses. But if they believe in King Jesus and the Holy Spirit is at work through them, we got to baptize them. Okay? This wasn't viewed... Obedience to Jesus was not viewed as optional in the early church. If you love him, if you believe in him, you obey him. And that includes and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, there's a couple other passages. I just want to bring home this point. Water baptism does not save, but it's very important because it's done out of obedience to the Lord. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. The Corinthians were dividing among themselves based on who baptized them. Okay? So you had some like, I'm of Paul, others, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Peter. Others liked Apollos' eloquent preaching, so I'm of Apollos. Others were acting like, I'm too important to follow any man. I'm of Christ. And they acted like they were just directly of Christ, and they would not submit to any human authority. So there were divisions in the church. Paul was so fed up that he was glad that he didn't baptize any of them. He planted the church there, but he had other guys baptize him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ, he says also, you know, in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. So he's saying, look, I don't even want to be part of these divisions. We all serve Jesus. We all need to be united. But I'm glad I didn't baptize that many of you. And in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to do what? But to preach the gospel. Okay? Now hold that in your mind. God called Paul not to baptize. He did baptize some people, but the main thing he was called to do was to preach the gospel. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul says to the Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. So Paul's saying the gospel is what saves, the good news of salvation through Jesus. If you trust in Jesus alone for salvation from the heart, you are saved. Paul says, I'm glad, you know, God called me to preach the gospel, and that saves, and not to baptize. Now, he's not diminishing baptism. He just doesn't want to be part of their divisions, but he's separating that which saves, it's the gospel, not baptism. He's separating that from water baptism, that which is done out of obedience to the Lord. So keep in mind, when you got water baptized, you didn't get saved. If you're trusting in Jesus for salvation, then you need to take that stand for Jesus and get baptized. So water baptism does not save. It's done in obedience to Christ's command, okay? This is like, you know, a few questions you should have. You say, hey, I believe. Where do I sign up? Well, the way Christians sign up is water baptism. You've trusted in Jesus for salvation. You're born again. You're a believer. Now you got to publicly acknowledge that you're one of us. You're in the church, the body of Christ. Okay? I believe, where do I sign up? It's called water baptism. You could ask Jesus, I belong to you. I'm trusting you for salvation. What is the next step? It's called water baptism. What a blessing. We had 11 people get baptized just the other night. How can I declare to the world that I'm your follower? Water baptism. Water baptism. I cannot even tell you the exact day I was saved. I know the time period when I was really seeking meaning in life, and then the gospel was presented to me. I was around Christians and all, and then went to a prayer meeting, and they gave me the gospel message, and I trusted in it. I can only tell you the general time, okay? But when you get water baptized, so sometimes you might forget that moment, think, man, maybe it was just emotions or whatever. But when you get water baptized, it's like, okay, that was the day I acknowledged to the world that I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, I was a follower of Jesus before I got wet, but I got wet to show the world, I don't belong to you anymore. I belong to King Jesus, okay? I'm telling you, you know, Marine Corps used to say, we're looking for a few good men, okay? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit right now and King Jesus, they're looking for a few, not good, none of us are good. They're looking for a few hungry men and women who are hungry for God, are hungry for truth. And we live in a world of lies. Everything is fake news. Everything you look at, you gotta check it out. And then if it kind of makes sense, it's like, yeah, I think that's the piece that makes the puzzle fit together. So I think that's the truth. And you look, it's like, wow, you really got to go digging for the truth. Because we're surrounded by nothing but lies. We live in a world of lies. But there is a truth. And all truth comes from the triune God. And so how can you declare to the world that you belong to Jesus? It's called water baptism. And the Greek word baptizo means to dip or fully submerge. And when you find out what water baptism symbolizes, I think fully dunking people is the way to go. And believe me, our water, we can only get it up so high before it starts leaking. So there's a few big guys I know that if they ask me to baptize them, they're going to be sitting down in the water, and I'm just going to dunk their head and shoulders because there's not a whole lot of room in there, but we fully submerge. Why? Because water baptism symbolizes our death with Christ, Jesus, in his death and burial and resurrection. So we don't pour or sprinkle, we baptize. We fully immerse. And so look at Romans 6, Paul's letters to the Romans, chapter 6. Verses 3 to 6, Romans 6, verses 3 to 6. And Paul says this, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And so water baptism symbolizes that inward baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're immersed in the Holy Spirit when we first get saved. It symbolizes our identification with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. Let me tell you, the world is trying to claim he didn't rise. They're rejecting the resurrection. I got the opportunity to study under Gary Habermas. I just got to meet with him last weekend, spend some good time with him. What a good guy he is. He's the big teddy bear, hockey player guy, but he's getting up in years. But he's one of the world's leading experts on the historical evidence for Jesus' resurrection. He's defeated in debate some of the world's leading atheist scholars on the evidence for Jesus' bodily resurrection. But the world doesn't want to accept it. The world doesn't accept the facts if they don't like it. And you might say, "Oh, you're being a little harsh on the world." Am I? If a guy doesn't want to be a guy, he doesn't accept the facts, and he pretends to be a girl. Okay? We got guys that are identifying as girls. And instead of giving them help and trying to straighten them out, we're giving them surgery and hormones and mutilating them. Some of these are little children. And we got girls that don't want to face the fact that they're a girl, and so they identify as a guy. You know what? If you're a guy, identify as a guy. If you're a girl, identify as a girl. But we all need to get water baptized and identify as children of the King of Kings. How do I identify? I identify as a fallen human who came to King Jesus. And I identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. The world can look at Jesus and say, "Oh, well, he had so much the potential, but then they killed him." Hey, you can't stop at Friday. You talking about Friday? If you identify with him, you're talking about Sunday. Okay, there's a wooden cross, there's Calvary, and we needed that. Somebody of infinite value had to suffer and pay the price for our sins, but it didn't stop on Friday. If it stopped on Friday, we wouldn't be here. Friday was just the beginning. We're here because of Sunday. We're here because the Lamb who was slain rose from the dead as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay? And the world just looks and says, whatever. And you got the Bill Gates and all these powerful billionaires don't want us driving cars, don't want us eating meat, don't want us traveling. They want to keep us in little government cubicles. They think we're useless eaters because AI can do our work for us now. And I'm not going to identify with those guys. I'm going to identify with the King of Israel. I'm going to identify with the crucified, risen Savior. You know, that old proclamation, that old creed, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will, not might, Christ will come again. That's what I identify with, and that's why I got baptized. That's why 11 people, what they identify with King Jesus. Right now, you can identify with King Jesus or you can identify with the world. You got to make that choice. Some of us are hesitating between two positions. You got to make that choice. And so water baptism symbolizes our identification with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. It also symbolizes the death of the old man and the birth of the new man. 2 Corinthians 5:7. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's hard. I look in the mirror. I look like the same guy I used to be, only the muscles are gone and there's wrinkles there. But I look like the same Phil Fernandez. But I'm not. Am I gonna just walk by sight and say, well, I look like Phil Fernandez. I must be the old guy. Or am I going to accept God at his word that the old Phil Fernandez is dead? And now I'm a new creation in Christ. I got some of my boxing buddies and MMA buddies here today, and I mean, that place is filled with guys from rough backgrounds and tough guys on the street and this and that. You come to Jesus, that's not you anymore. The old you is dead. Doesn't make you a wimp. Doesn't make you weak. I mean, I got one Christian brother, former student here. I'm not going to mention his name. I don't want to put him on the spot. After becoming a Christian, he was benching 450. God doesn't make you a wimp. God makes you powerful for him through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the old you is dead. It's hard for me. Satan whispers in my ear. He acts like, no, I'm the same old guy I used to be in Essex County, New Jersey. I'll never amount to anything. I'm just a con artist and a thief. That's the enemy speaking. The voice of God through his word says, the old Phil Fernandez is dead. Don't bring back the old man. You could do that too. You can bring the old dead dog for a walk around a block and drag a dead dog around the block. That's when we're being stupid. If you're trusting in Jesus for salvation, the old you is dead. Stop acting like the old you. You're a new creation in Christ. So when you get water baptized, it symbolizes the death of the old you. When you go under the water, it's the death and burial of the old you, and it's the resurrection of the new you, who you are in Christ. And then water baptism is the outward sign of the inward work of the Holy Spirit. It's called Spirit baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 13, Paul says this, for by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So if you're a believer, you've been immersed in the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit already. He makes you born again. He fills you, okay? Remember, though, you know, I'll give this illustration over and over again until Jesus brings me home. All believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not all believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you know, he makes us born again, he fills us, but then we could start sinning, and all of a sudden we lose the filling, and we just have the indwelling. When you're dwelt with the Holy Spirit, it's like you're driving the car and the Holy Spirit's in the passenger side seat. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you know, you don't get more of him, he gets more of you. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're in the passenger side seat and now the Holy Spirit is driving. For those of us who already believe out here, I don't know your heart. Some of you might believe, some of you might not believe. But if you came in here and you're trusting in Jesus for salvation, who's driving? Who's driving your car? You know, sometimes I walk into Kitsap Combat Sports and I'm hunched over. And I'd like to say I look like an old man, but actually I am an old man. And it's like, okay, are you gonna impersonate, you know, Grumpy from, what is it, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? You gonna be grumpy tonight because you're in a little bit of pain? Or you can try to speak Jesus into the lives of others and tell people God bless them. Tell people you love them. Tell people be safe in a very, very cruel world. It's a decision we all make. When you walk to Fred Meyer's and go shopping, you got to make that decision. Am I going to bring back the old man? Or am I going to be the new creation in Christ? We had somebody from this church that is allowed to park in handicapped parking because they have a handicapped son. And somebody got mad and said that, can you move so we can use that space? And what did the mom do? She decided, you know what? I have the right to be here. I'm going to turn the other cheek. And she moved and gave that space to another, even though her son, God bless him, is handicapped. We got a choice day by day, moment by moment, year by year. Am I going to bring back the old Phil Fernandez who's dead? Or am I going to be the new creation in Christ? When you get water baptized, you say, look, the old me is dead and buried, and now I walk in the newness of Jesus' resurrection. Okay? And so water baptism is an outward sign of the inward work of the Holy Spirit, where the old you is dead, and now it's the new creation created in Christ Jesus. Look at Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. You know, we're saved by God's grace alone. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. And that's through faith alone. You trust in Jesus for salvation. So I cannot earn salvation. If I get what I earn, it's called hell, eternal separation from God. I don't want that. I'm going to trust in King Jesus because he is both willing and able to save. And so I'll trust in Jesus for salvation. And so we're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, and it's not of works. However, true saving faith will transform your life. True saving faith will change your life. True saving faith will produce good works, as James says in James 2. Verse 26. So if you're a believer, you know, God loves us enough to save us in the midst of our sins, but then he loves us too much to leave us there. Okay? You got to examine yourself. I got to examine myself. You know, if there's no difference of who you are before you think you came to Christ and afterwards, you got to wonder, do I even know him? Remember, Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. We don't earn salvation through works. Christians don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. Jesus is in the business of saving lives. Well, look at what our lives should be characterized by if we're true believers. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, King Jesus is talking. And he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who's in heaven. When you're out there talking with people, you confessing Jesus or you denying him? Sometimes we know, hey, if I talk about Jesus, I'm going to tick these people off, so I'm just going to love on them. They know I'm a Christian, but I don't want to push them further away from Jesus. So sometimes you testify of Jesus just by being kind and gentle with others. Other times, you got to be vocal. But one of the things that will characterize a true believer, you publicly acknowledge Jesus as your Savior before others. Is your life characterized as confessing Jesus to others, acknowledging Jesus to others, in word and in deed? Or is your life characterized by denying him? Okay? Well, water baptism gives you that first opportunity to publicly confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then it ought to become a habit. You could do it in a gentle way. I mean, I got a buddy older than me. I love sparring with him. He makes sure he doesn't hit too hard that it puts me in a hospital. And loves the Lord. He's always there to pray with guys, to give them advice, but he's not pushing Jesus off on people. But his godly life, others look up to him. The kids have combat sports. Others come to him for advice. We got some believers there. We got some guys that really love Jesus. But you got to confess him before others. Okay? Wouldn't it be a shame if you knew somebody, you were best friends with somebody for 10 years, and then they found out, oh, I didn't know he was a Christian. You know, there's some people, you know, like some of my students, their unsaved friends know what computer games they like, but they don't know that they're Christians, that they go to church. We got to confess Jesus before others. And then baptism is done in the name of the triune God. We saw Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The one true God, it goes beyond human understanding, is three distinct persons. I don't know how that could be, but the Bible very clearly teaches it. And what we want to do, we want to drag God down to our level. If he's one being, one thing that exists, he's got to be one person, because I'm one being, one thing that exists, and I'm one person. We want to drag the infinite God down to our finite level. Don't do it. If God tells us he's three persons, he's three persons. Okay? And it's not a contradiction. If God said I'm one God, but I'm three gods, that's a contradiction. If God said I'm one person, but I'm three persons, that's a contradiction. But if God says I'm one God, one in being, yet I'm three distinct persons, he's one in one way and three in another way. That's not a contradiction, but it goes beyond human understanding. Just think if a single-celled animal had understanding, which a single-celled animal doesn't, a single-celled animal would say, well, I'm comprised of one cell and I'm one being, one thing that exists. Therefore, since Phil Fernandez is trillions of cells, he must be trillions of beings. Well, guess what? I exist on a higher level of existence than a single-celled animal. Sometimes I don't act like it, but I do, okay? I exist on a higher level. Well, guess what? The eternal, infinite creator who is pure, infinite existence and gave existence to everything else that exists, he happens to exist on a much higher level of existence than us, and somehow existing on that level means he is one being, one God, but three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If the world doesn't like that, I don't care. If the world doesn't think that Jesus' death conquered sin and that he rose from the dead to conquer death for us, if the world doesn't believe it, I don't care. I pray for them, but I identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need to identify God in his, with God in his creation work and his recreation work. His new creation work. So in his creation work, guess what? If he created you to be a male, identify as a male. If he created you as a female, identify as a female. Now, if people are confused, you help them, but you don't encourage them to throw the facts out the window and mutilate their bodies. Okay? So with creation, if you're a male, identify as a male. God created you to be a male. If you're a female, identify with being female. God created you to be a female, okay? But that's not enough. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to give you abundant life. You also got to identify as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? The world can mock us, but we're still going to follow King Jesus. So when you're standing up to get baptized, you make a public confession of faith in Christ. When you're under the water, it's the death and burial of the old you. You come out of the water, it's the resurrection of the new you, okay? And you're also identifying with Christ in his death and burial and in his resurrection as well. So we're going to conclude with Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And Paul says this, it's right in the middle of a sentence, but some of Paul's sentences are 20 verses long. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, of God's power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places? What this passage is telling us, you know what kind of power God has given you in your life? What kind of power God is working in you if you believe? You might think, I'm just a regular guy, Pastor Phil. I'm just a regular lady, you might be thinking. I'm nobody special. Hey, it's not the size of the person in the spiritual battle. It's the size of your God. David had a problem that was a lot bigger than him. The problem was named Goliath. But David knew it's not my size that matters, it's the size of my God. This Philistine blaspheming giant is going down today. Okay? The same power that it took God the Father to raise Jesus from the dead and to transform his mortal body into immortality, okay? That same power, by the way, I think that same power is what caused the image on the Shroud of Turin. We do not have the medical technology to reproduce that image. Okay? That kind of bombardment of power, that power is at work in your life right now. And so you got to boldly identify as a follower of the Lord Jesus. If you trust in Jesus for salvation, you get baptized, and then you confess Jesus till he comes back in glory. We choose to follow the crucified, risen King. We choose to trust in Jesus alone for salvation. We choose to identify with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we choose to enter into the resurrection life, new life in Jesus, where God's power is unleashed in our lives. It might not look special to the world, but you lead somebody to Christ. You disciple them. And the angels in heaven will rejoice. You identify with King Jesus, you follow him, and you tell the state, I will not bow before you. I'll be the best citizen you ever had, but I will not worship the state. I will give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but I only give to God what is God's. I will only worship the triune God. I identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and I long for the day when he returns to take his stand upon the earth. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, we love you, but help us to love you more. I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would recognize we're sinners. We cannot save ourselves. The only way we could be saved is by trusting in your Son, the Lord Jesus, alone for salvation. Your Son became a man, died on the cross for our sins. He took our punishment for us. You're totally just. You cannot forgive sin unless it's been paid for in full. Jesus paid the price. And then you raised him from the dead on the third day to conquer death for us. And so I pray, Lord, that all of us here would trust in your Son, Jesus, alone for salvation, and we would identify with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we would rejoice in the fact that if we trust in Jesus, the old man is dead, and we been recreated, new creations in Christ. And the same power it took to raise Jesus from the dead is at work in our lives. I pray, Lord, that everyone here who believes, if they haven't been water baptized, that they would make that a priority. Because if we love your son Jesus, we need to obey him. And he tells his followers to get baptized and then serve him and acknowledge him as Savior throughout all the days of our lives. And to the triune God be the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.